baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade. Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Joining us now from Boston, it is the GM of the Texas Rangers, John J.D. Daniels. How are you doing today, J.D.?
I'm good, guys. Sitting here in Fenway.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, man. How does that rank in terms of your favorite non-Ranger parks in all of baseball?
It'll be number one for me, man. I got a little bit of a personal tie here. You know, lived here for a few years after school. Dad has good memories here, but just from like the history of it, and yeah, you know, I got my son with me. We just walked down the tunnel from the clubhouse, and you know, things have obviously been repainted, but still the exact same tunnel. You know, kind of down underneath the clubhouse, you walk out and you see the monster when you come up, and it's the exact same. Like old beat up stairs that, you know, Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio and these guys walked out, and it's a pretty special spot. I highly recommend it if you haven't been out here.
You know, one of my great regrets is that I've never been to Boston, so I clearly haven't been there, but with what you guys are doing with Texas Live around the new ballpark and what a great experience that is. And then when you guys went on the World Series runs, me and Ben were chasing you guys. So we go to all these different ballparks and see what the experiences are like around the ballpark. What is it like there in Boston around the ballpark for folks who, I'm assuming it's right there in the middle of an urban area?
Yeah, it's literally in kind of right on the border of like Boston and Brookline and Brighton and Austin, some of the bigger suburbs. But it's basically in downtown. You can walk from here to like, you know, it's probably a mile from here to the where the marathon finishes, right in Back Bay and in the city, and 2 miles from like Boston Common, you know, where the Cheers restaurant is and all that. And so the atmosphere around is awesome. You know, when I was here, it was in like 99, 2000, and they were good, but certainly not at the level that they've been here recently. And even then, it was pretty special. Now that they've come in, you know, they won the World Series a few times, and ownership has spent a bunch of money, you know, similar to what our guys are doing, to really like build the they had the option, I'm sure, to like go to a new stadium, but instead they built the area up around it. And so it's got almost like a street fair feel, pre-game, post-game. And it's the energy in the park spreads out into the, you know, city surrounding it, right over like 2-block radius. It's pretty cool.
So awesome weekend for the Texas Rangers, in that you honored one of the greatest baseball players to ever wear the uniform here for the Rangers in Adrian Beltre. What were your thoughts of the festivities and just how the overall ceremony and honoring AB went?
Well, I thought it was awesome. Other than when somebody screwed up the script and didn't do what he was supposed to do, which was myself. other than my gap, our people did a tremendous job, I thought. John Blake and Chuck Morgan and their teams, and Krista Reuscher and Tony Taylor and Kelly Gavin and Mandy and on down the line, I forget about Jamie Gibbs. I mean, it just absolutely blew it out of the park, I thought. The video was tremendous. When Matt Heck did the voiceover for, I mean, it kind of gave you chills. And you had the unique angle, like while the video was on, I could see Adrian, and like he was, I thought, genuinely blown away by it. It was like a first class thing, which as well it should be. It was cool to see. You know, we got guys like Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda coming in, and just how much it meant for like all the other people around. I thought the way the fans responded was cool and really made you proud to be associated with it.
What goes into something like that? How involved is the baseball side of it? Who kind of takes charge of all that? I mean, we saw a lot of this go on with Dirk, for example, and I know a lot of the moving parts there, but how do you guys put together something like that? Who takes the reins?
John Blake was probably at the center of the spoke. So many people, I touched on a few of them. So many people were involved, but you know, I think that's one of the things that John really excelled at. I think he's always been good at it. You know, going back to you know, when Nolan had no hitter or you know, a strikeout milestone back in the old park. I think if he was able to make it, and the Rangers weren't a great club at the time, and if he made it a true spectacle and kind of a national moment. You know, then he, John spent a couple of years in Boston, so I think he got that experience. When he comes back, whether it's Pudge's deal or Michael Young milestones, or you know, I thought we did an amazing job with Adrian's 10,000. It's a lot more than just John, but John kind of coordinates it and runs point on it. And I know he got some flack for you know, jumping on the broadcast accidentally to just keep it moving because Adrian needed to be his next stop. But he's just so passionate, and he does a hell of a job.
Talking to John Daniels on his weekly show right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I got to ask you about this. I know, you know, Michael Young's not going anywhere. He's a part of the organization. He's faced the franchise for so many years, and there's no doubt that whatever accolades are coming down the road for him. But I got to ask, just for the sake of, we had so many people reach out. We're like, oh, absolutely, AB in there. But why isn't Michael in it? Should Michael be first? And how does help us out with the thought process and all that? I know it's coming, and I'm not worried about it in that way at all. I'm just in order to help answer the I don't know, the curiosity of Rangers fans who are asking a bunch of Michael Young questions.
You know, that's a really good and very fair question. So the thought process has been for a while, outside of Johnny Oakes, because Johnny has unique circumstances and had the brain cancer, and so there's some time limits to it, I believe. But other than that, I think the thought process has been that when a player goes into the Baseball Hall of Fame, then the Rangers would retire his number, and that's kind of something that I think a number of clubs do it that way. And I think with Adrian and he's going to go to Cooperstown, but certainly with Adrian and Michael, you know, we kind of forced us to reconsider. Like, is this how we should view it? You know, I mean, we waited until Pudge got into the Hall of Fame, so he did his number. Is this how we should continue to do it from a policy standpoint, or should we, you know, revise it and kind of, you know, use kind of common sense for how we're doing. How are you? Sorry, Elvis's brother here. Say hello.
Tell him Benin Skin said hello.
Yeah, Benin Skin said hello, Errol. Well, Errol nods and says hello back. So we just thought, like, should we kind of review our policy and how we do it? And we decided, yeah, absolutely. And so we didn't wait for Adrian, and I think you're on to something. I think Michael is extremely deserving. Don't tell him I said that, please. But you know, extremely deserving, and obviously a huge role in the organization right now. And, you know, we're going to continue to look at ways to honor him.
Yeah, and hey, I'm not judging, just curious. And I know so many Ranger fans are wondering, just because he's meant so much. And there's all different ways to honor guys. Obviously, he's in the Rangers Hall of Fame. And so is this literally nobody can wear 29 now moving forward? Is that what this is? Or is it just, hey, okay, we're honoring the player. His name is up in the stadium, but we'll still issue 29. How does that work?
No, it'll never be worn again.
Wow.
Unless, you know, one thing I throw this out there, you know, if Adrian Jr. wants to cut us a deal, maybe we'll unretire it for him. But I don't think anybody else that Adrian's bloodline wasn't wearing it.
Talking to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So are you guys thinking of also now retiring Adrian Sampson's jersey? Is Lord have mercy, he went out there and pitched an absolute gem for you guys. In fact, he's been on a tear in general. What is going on with him?
Man, I got to give him, our coaching staff for sure, but ultimately Adrian gets a ton of credit. We're the dummies and non-tendered in this winter. You know, we did it thinking we could re-sign him, and we were able to. But you know, we re-signed him, and he came into camp. He was stronger. He had worked all off-season. His slider was better. He's seen a ton of swing and miss on the slider. And then the other thing that you know, I give him a lot of credit for, we faced a, I think it was Seattle early on. left-handed lineup in Seattle, Pittsburgh. But Julio and our guys have gone to him with a game plan that involved some kind of changeups. It was basically a third pitch, and he bought in 100%. He got it. He understood it. The pitch he hadn't really used a lot in the big league, and dominated with his changeup that night. And so I just think you've seen a guy that worked hard this winter to get stronger, worked hard on his secondary, and now is like embracing some of the information that we've got. But it is all on him. Adrian Sampson has really pushed himself to take his skill level career to another level. Matt Lucero, Sean Fields, our medical staff, we claimed him on waivers about 2.5 years ago with the understanding it was going to be a little while for him to get back to full health. And they killed it, and we were patient. But Adrian is really rewarding his work.
And then also, you could probably just insert another pitcher's name. How about Pete Fairbanks? Exciting stuff there as well, huh?
Yeah, man. That was Elvis came up to me afterwards in the club. I said, "Hey, can Fairbanks stay?" Well, yeah, I think so. I think you're punching out the side and two filthy pitches gives you a chance. Yeah, another guy, man. Our scouting group did a good job. He was like a little more of an average stuff, kind of a starter at the University of Missouri, 2015 draft, ninth round. Dustin Smith signed him, and really kind of just kind of average, honestly. It's like coming up the first couple of years. Had TJ, and he went to Arizona, and I think of Sean Field and Pete Comstock rehabbed him, and they talked about his arm action. Now you saw how short he is with his takeaway, with his arm swing, real short out of his glove, so he kind of cocked it behind his ear, and man, it has totally changed him as a pitcher. I give those guys a ton of credit, give him a ton of credit. I remember in instructional league, Mike Daly, but Fairbanks is 99 today. I'm like, not a chance. I saw him 88-91 last time he pitched. Sure enough, he's maintained that velocity. His slider's gotten better, and he's kind of taken it on. I think some guys might be intimidated starting an A-ball and 2 months later in the big league, and he is just making the most of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Well, John, thank you for the time, man. You guys have fun out in Boston. Keep the good mojo going, and we'll talk to you next week, brother.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, John Daniels, every Monday at 4:20 right here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.